Welcome back to Misunderstood's happy hour. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good. How are you, Rachel?
Oh, what are you drinking there?
Iced coffee, sugar-free.
Oh, nice. Okay, working on your diet there.
Working on my body. Yes.
Okay, good. So welcome back to the show, everybody. This is our third happy hour, right? So I love that you're drinking coffee. I'm actually drinking water out of my Misunderstood mug. But next week, we are going to be starting our spit or swallow.
Spit or swallow.
Yeah, you don't sip that shit.
So naughty. You don't sip it. You just, I don't know. So bad. But yes, we're going to get our drink on.
Yes, we've had a bunch of companies contact us in the last couple of weeks that want to sponsor us. So as of next week, we will be featuring wine, alcohol that has been sent to us that we are going to taste. We're going to tell you guys about, and we are either going to swallow it if we like it. And if we don't like it, we are going to spit it out. So we are really excited for that segment next week. Do you want to fill us in really quickly on your what's been going on in your dating life in the last week? Because you barely can function because you're on so many dates.
I'm on so many dates. Honestly, I'm going to get to the point soon where I can't talk about it because like I had one guy who listened to the show and he's like, I did listen, but honestly, I don't think I can listen to any more of this because I actually like you and I don't want to hear about it. So it's like being on The Bachelorette kind of like, yeah, I've been on a few super high quality dates.
Who are you going to give a rose to this week? Oh, actually, that's what we should do. God. You should start mentioning somebody's name. Okay, who gets speaking the rose this week?
Oh, gosh. Speaking of that, I have to tell you, one of the dates I went on, the guy, he made me this paper origami rose and gave it to me. It was like a little symbolic of like what we're doing on the show.
That's cute.
So sweet.
That's a little too sweet and cute for me, but I think that's really nice.
It was super nice. Yeah. It was a great date. He gets my rose this week.
Wow.
I don't mean it like that.
Yes, you
that's
do.
That's who I'd be giving. Yeah, that's who I'd be giving the rose to.
Okay,
this
what's
week.
His name? Do we want to say it?
Starts with a J.
Okay, so we'll call him Jay. So Jay gets the rose this week. That's very exciting. Do you think he's somebody that you can marry next year?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. No, Jay. I mean, Jay, this is very interesting. Maybe next week, if he's still in the running, we'll have to have him call in.
Here's the problem.
What?
The people I'm dating are really high quality people. Like good. This, I've like upped this game. So like it's all open. I could marry probably anybody that I'm only dating like super high quality humans. And so it's making it really amazing, but tough too. So,
Okay. Well, don't forget anyone that wants to get involved could email suggestions. What's the email?
gettingmarried@misunderstoodpodcast.com.
M-I-S-S understood. Yeah.
M-I-S-S. Mm-hmm. I had a question though. I keep getting called cute. I keep getting called cute by these people I'm dating. Like, oh, you're so cute. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, what's the difference between cute and hot? Or like, do guys like cute or do they want sexy? Or like, how does a woman like, cute. Like, I don't know.
Are your boobs out enough?
I don't know. Yes.
Good boobs. I mean, maybe you're not showing enough sex appeal.
Maybe.
But cute is a good word. It's worse than, you know, oh, you've got a great personality or something.
That's true. It's
but
better
no,
than
you're
that.
A beautiful girl. And I think that you also look very young for your age. So I think that like, you know, maybe that's the word that comes out. And also these guys are on the younger side. I feel like they're not maybe, you know, they don't have a lot of sophistication with their vocabulary. And it might be intimidating to say you're such a beautiful woman.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I want to be hot. But I think it's a lot of my personality. I'm just goofy all the time.
Well, when you come here, we're going to put you in like leather pants and like, I don't know. We're going to sex you up a little bit and see what happens.
Okay. I need some sexing up and I probably need to stop cracking jokes all the time. I'm always joking around and stuff.
But there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's nice.
Yeah. But this brings us to like a lot of the stuff I want to talk about today.
Okay.
So
what
like,
do you want
not
to get
my
into?
Dating. Well, we just had an amazing guest on. So we just had Vanessa Reiser, licensed social worker and psychotherapist. She deals with narcissistic abuse. Mm-hmm. And it's brought back a lot of memories from past relationships and things like that. And it kind of delves into some stuff we're going to talk about today, but she was an amazing guest and she's coming out next week. And it kind of ties in with our guest this week, Sarma Melangalis from Bad Vegan. We talked a little bit about that. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today will be relationship stuff, but let's talk first, okay, about Sarma's episode. So we had Sarma's episode on this week in a two-parter. It was amazing. The feedback is amazing. What were your thoughts when you were actually interviewing Sarma in person? I know you guys have kept in touch and stuff. So let's talk a little bit about Sarma this week.
Well, at this point, I consider Sarma a friend. So like, yeah. I was very happy. The point with that is it was very happy to get to know her. I was happy to hear her story. I was happy to be, you know, part of the platform that she could tell her story on, because I think that's really important. You know, a lot of people victim shame, and, you know, I don't try and come into any of my interviews having an opinion. And even if I do have an opinion, I keep it to myself because I think it's not my place. Like, the whole purpose of this show is for people to tell their story without having any judgment or pushback, almost, you know? So I loved hearing her story. I found it very interesting because when I saw Bad Vegan come out on Netflix, I binged it. I was obsessed with understanding more of what happened and her. And, you know, I did have questions. I did think crazy thing. You know, I was like, how could this woman that seems so smart and normal get into this? So I thought it was very interesting. It was interesting to hear her perspective. It was interesting to hear about psychological abuse, which sounds a lot like things that happened in cult relationships. I've been involved in that. I went to a boarding school that was based on a cult. And so I'm very familiar with that. And obviously I've had, well, not obviously, but I've had relationships with people who share traits that she spoke about, that Vanessa spoke about today, narcissistic, abusive people that just, you know, try to gaslight you, shame you, put you in a place where you feel like you need them to thrive and you kind of can't get out of the relationship. And, you know, I've been in stuff like that. So I love that they brought awareness to people that may be suffering in relationships like that, but don't necessarily know it. So I think they're both very interesting women.
The interview we had with
Tara Newell about her mother getting involved with Dirty John was also a similar story, that, you know, a beautiful, smart, accomplished woman could get wrapped up with a liar and someone who takes your soul from you almost and makes you feel so bad about yourself, which is just crazy. That's not how relationships are supposed to be. You're supposed to be with somebody that is an asset to you, that makes you feel better about yourself. You know, that's a partner. Like, I want a witness to my life. You know, I want someone who's like my teammate, my best friend, and who also I feel physically connected to, that I want to be intimate with. You know, that's the most, the only thing you can share with one other person is like this intimate moment, you know? And so if you don't have that chemistry with them, it's also very hard to keep that connection alive, is my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And Vanessa gave us some really great tips on red flags, how to like invest in ourselves and remind ourselves that we're awesome ahead of time, before we even have a chance to get wrapped up with a narcissist, just so that we know our worth, our value, so that, you know, we're always reminded that when we see these red flags to kind of run, we can totally do better than that. So I'm super excited for her episode to come out next week.
Yeah, it'll be great. I really hope everybody listens.
One thing, and if people don't know the name Vanessa Reiser right off the bat, you will know her if you follow Real Housewives of New Jersey and that, because she's involved in that whole mess a little bit right now.
Oh, and let's talk about that, because now we're personally involved, because we're heading to New York soon to have dinner with Bo Dietl, the PI guy who is involved in this mess with Vanessa. And you can tell the story.
Well, no, we had no idea the two were connected. First, we were having Vanessa on the show, and then we were having Bo Dietl on the show and having dinner with him. We didn't know that Louis and Teresa, is the PI that he supposedly hired, is Bo Dietl.
Allegedly. Because Bo claims that he was not hired by him at all. And, you know, Louis, I think, says that they're like best friends and really close. And that is not what Bo says. So she couldn't really talk about that whole scenario, but she, you know, spent ongoing, a lot of time talking about what it was like to date him and get out of that relationship and be in that relationship. So I think that it's very cool. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices and the path forward isn't always clear. I personally have been through a lot of trying times in my life, trauma, grief, for example. I think those are universal themes that people can really understand. I lost my fiance, Andy, in 9/11, and the pain was unbearable. Since then, I've gone through other traumas that didn't feel as big, but I still needed to talk to somebody, and having somebody I didn't know that well, but was really good at listening, felt like the right thing to do, and it was so helpful to me. I love that I can have someone to talk to that isn't one of my close friends that I can just confide in and feel like it's between us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I signed up for this just the other day. I've already been matched to the most perfect therapist for me. I'm excited because I've already touched base with them and I have my first appointment in a couple days. So I will let you guys know how that goes, but I'm super excited to try this service. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/understood today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/understood. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com/understood and get on your way to being your best self. When we we're going to, Kelly and I are going to New York to go have dinner with Bo Dietl at Rao's, and which will be really fun. And we have a special guest that's joining us for dinner, two special guests that are joining us for dinner as well. So we will be very happy to tell you guys all about that when that happens.
I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I already know what I'm going to wear. So
Okay.
Do you know what you're going to wear?
No, absolutely not. But I guess we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Super excited. Yeah. So I'm going to Palm Beach soon to visit you. And then we're going to go to New York together. That's going to be exciting. We've got a couple interviews planned with, like you said, some special guests. So yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah. We're going to go out every night and we're going to introduce you to people on Palm Beach, a whole new type of guy. So this will be really fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be nice to get out of Iowa because Iowa is just overcast and smoky right now. I don't know if you guys are the Canadian wildfires.
Yeah, it's not, it hasn't reached really, Florida yet. No. But yeah, I mean, that's really scary. Crazy. Everything that's happening. I was in Las Vegas this weekend for about 5 days and it wasn't as hot as they're talking about in Texas. And I have to say Florida is even hotter than Las Vegas because of the humidity. In Florida and in Vegas, there is none. So it doesn't feel as hot and you can actually sit in the sun, but the sun is like burning on your skin. Whereas here it's like hard to breathe outside, but we haven't seen that wildfire stuff. And you know, it's very apocalyptic. You know what I mean?
Know.
It's super scary what's going on. And I get really nervous about the state of America or the world or whatever. It's just, it's really weird. But talking about Vegas for a second, I just want to say, I went on this trip with a group. It's hard to explain. It's very similar to YPO, which if people know what that is, it's people getting together that own businesses, but this was like on a sort of different level. People that are publicly, you know, CEOs of publicly traded companies, very famous people, Russian oligarchs, you know, a guy who is probably going to win the next presidency in Uruguay was one of the guys there. Very cool group of people. And we did everything from hiking in Red Rock to having, going to a black tie event where we were kidnapped and brought into this room and we got to play poker all night and baccarat and blackjack, and they gave us basically free money and we were playing with, like, you know, $500,000.
And you were a dealer.
And I was the guest host dealer. It was super fun. They taught me how to deal. And after living in Vegas for as long as I did, I actually thought, like, oh, how fun would it have been to say, you know, chalk it up on, you know, on the bedpost or whatever, that one of the things I've ever done is being a casino host or, like, you know, somebody who dealt cards. Because when you're there, by the way, when you're behind that table, it's super hard to get the cards out, to do your math really quick. It's very intimidating. So, but I had a lot of fun.
Well, you were a natural. You looked so good up there. So it was like an homage to your Vegas days.
Yes. Yeah. No, it was cool. But also one of the things, too, we had two major people come and talk to us about different things that they found to be interesting, right? So they had
AI, right?
Yeah, they had the guys from The Social Dilemma, the show on Netflix, which, by the way, I believe was the number two most watched show on Netflix ever, about what social media does and what it has done and what it's going to do to our youth, but also just to adults too, because adults get addicted to it. So the two guys that starred in that created it came and spoke to us for probably a total of 6 hours on the subject, and it was very scary the direction that they believe the world is going with AI. They think it's very dangerous. They think they're going to Congress to try and get them to slow it down, to pause, because they believe that the curve and the rate that AI is taking over can be very dangerous. But then on the flip side, they were talking about the use of AI in understanding language with animals, which I found to be a fascinating conversation. Right now, they are already working on it with humpback whales, beluga whales, and chimpanzees. I didn't know any of this. I offered the guy to come on the show. I hope that he takes me up on it. But he believes in the next 12 months, we will be able to communicate with whales and chimpanzees. We won't know what we're saying, but they will be able to mimic what we're saying, and it'll be a conversation back and forth. They believe that's by crazy. The year 2030, we will be able to actually know what they are saying, and we can communicate with them because we will learn their language. So that puts the thought in their mind of like, could this be dangerous? Could we be setting like a, you know, this riptide sort of, you know, creating a mutiny with animals that we don't realize, because this has been something that we haven't been able to crack the code for all these years. But wouldn't it be great to know what your dog or cats or pets are thinking? And I think by the year 2030, we will be into knowing that. But it also sets up the conversation of like animal abuse. And they believe that even plants have feelings and can be heard on a level of crying when you rip off a branch or you rip off a leaf. And, you know, I just read this week that lobsters can feel the pain when they're boiled. So, you know, they believe that every living thing, from mosquitoes to ants to, you know, I'm looking at a plant right now, has the ability to feel, to see, and should be loved and cared for much differently than we are at the moment. So that was the whole point of that conversation. And then
plants, so really like crying. Oh crying. My gosh.
At a decibel that we can't hear. But yes, they have the tools now with these AI contraptions that they can hear it and not understand what it's saying, but obviously it's crying because it's in pain. Also something about, you know, the nectar, they've studied nectar when bees come closer to a plant, and they can tell that when they play the sound of a bee coming closer to these certain plants, that they develop, you know, more of a nectar, and it's more, you know, juicy or whatever. And, and it's based on hearing the sound of the bee coming closer to them. So they believe that they can hear. So it's all really interesting stuff. Okay. So the second thing that we were in a meeting about, this was at almost midnight on the night before we left. We were kidnapped. We went into this room, but we had this really interesting presentation from somebody who's working in the field of taking, you know, the spacecraft up. And, you know, I think there are five different companies right now that are, Richard Branson has one, Elon has one, you know, Bezos has one, to get people to go into space for, whether it's 2 minutes to 10 days. There are these things that people can do and spend money on, like they did for the submersible. But this new thing that they are selling now is a trip on a air balloon that goes into space. It is a 6-hour tour total, 2 hours up, 2 hours while you're in this capsule floating in space and then 2 hours coming down. And it fits eight people, and most people have not heard of this yet because they really were promoting it to this group. It costs $150 to have a seat. And people
$150?
Sorry, $150,000.
I'm like, oh, I'm in. Can afford that.
Let me do that again. It costs $150,000 to have a seat. And people are booking entire capsules because they want to have a wedding up there, or they want to have business meetings up there, or, you know, things like this. So they had offered our group trip number 34. They've already booked something into the thousands of trips, but they held group, you know, trip 34 for this group that they were you know, giving the presentation to. So to see how many people wanted to book that. So it was very interesting and enlightening, and it was great to hear the question. So it sounded like they were, the group I was with was going to probably book eight seats. And I thought that was a really cool thing. I've never heard of it. So
very cool, but I'm like, okay, this sounds like the Titan submersible all over again, but reverse. Would you go up in space in this hot air balloon thing? Would you go?
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
It was interesting because they did ask a lot of questions, obviously, about safety. There was, you know, seven different ways for things to fix itself. You know, I was more interested about, like, you know, if the balloon pops.
Where they go to the bathroom?
No, there is a bathroom in there. Of course, I'm always interested in that. But they, it was interesting to hear how they had all these different ways to handle the issue if something happened. But, you know, if there's a fire in the cabin and you're 2 hours from getting down, you can't fix that, you know? No. I don't know. They seem to have all these answers for everything. So it'll be interesting when it does launch to see what happens there. I think that'll be cool because it's something that seems more realistic for people. It's 150 thousand instead of 250, or, you know, some of the people I was with had are on the waiting list. They've spent 30 million to 50 million to be part of these other trips where you go to space for 10 days. So it's a lot cheaper at this point.
That's a lot cheaper. It's like a quick little, just to dip your toes into space.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
Sure.
For a good price. Okay. But would you go?
No, I'm too scared of stuff like that. No.
Yeah. Me too.
I don't like heights. I don't have any desire to see what that's like. So I'm not into it at all.
Nope. Me neither. Speaking of that though, like the Titan submersible last week we were talking about it. There was still hope when we were talking. We know now they're gone. A lot of stuff on the internet about that. People are like, oh, good. You know, they were so dumb. They should never have done this to begin with. I like actually got in some fights on the internet with people. I was like, shame on you. Like if my kid is someday a billionaire, And you're like, I mean, just, you can never rejoice in someone's tragic death. There was a father and a son on there. It made me so mad. I feel so sad. They just had so much passion about exploring the world. Like, good for them. They could afford it too. So I'm very sad that that
happened. I don't think the money, I think it's really ignorant for people to talk about how much money somebody had. I mean, listen, it was a opportunity, you know, that they could afford, and they did it. And that has nothing to do with whether or not they should die. Nope. I mean, that's crazy.
Nope.
What I thought was a little bit, I don't know, I found it very nerve wracking, I guess, is that they started to bring up the debris. Yeah. And they said, I only saw this yesterday while I was traveling, but they said something about how they were able to find some bodies in the submersible. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I assumed that it imploded and the whole thing smushed, like, and like it was instantaneous. But, you know, if it wasn't smushed and, you know, the window just popped out and they drowned to death, or, you know, I'm very curious of what ends up coming, them finding the news to really be. And I'm sure they are going to be able to figure out what happened in their last seconds by, you know, it's like when they have an airplane crash and they get all the different parts and they're able to figure out what happened. I think it'll be very similar, and it's super scary. But the group that I was with, I talked to a lot of them about whether or not they would have gone in the submersible, and they all said yes. And it had nothing to do with money. It was more like they felt convinced that it was safe. The owner, you know, the CEO and founder was going down as well. You know, it just, they would have thought it was safe.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. And the money is just like, it's a vessel, you know, it affords you the opportunity to do things nobody else can do. And everybody can say, oh, you know, they're billionaires, blah, 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 whatever. Like, they've done really well. They deserve to do all these amazing things, whatever. It's good. But, you know, very tragic. But on another note, 4th of July is coming up. So do you have any big plans?
I don't really give a shit about 4th of July. I mean,
I wondered. Yeah. Some people are like diehard fireworks, picnics, barbecue, all that. I wondered how you felt.
I have
about
a really beautiful backyard with a really nice barbecue or grill that I've never used. So I will probably break that out in terms of getting a bunch of food and inviting guests that I know can cook on it, because I will use them for their skills, because I don't know how to do that. And I'd like to try it out. But no, yeah. I've just moved to Florida. I have a beautiful house, and I should start throwing parties. So I'm going to have one on the 4th. But also in my neighborhood, a bunch of people are having parties on the 3rd, the 2nd, you know, all the way, you know, for a couple of days before. And I live in a really interesting community where I saw for New Year's Eve, my next door neighbors were lighting fireworks. So I believe they'll be lighting their own fireworks for this weekend as well. So my daughter is, she's in New York for the summer, but she is coming down this weekend to be with me and to have 4th of July with me. So that'll be fun. I hope my dogs are okay during the fireworks, but...
Oh yeah. Have they ever they're city dogs. Have they ever had they've had noise and stuff, but have they experienced fireworks?
My little one, I think, has the new rescue that I have. I don't know. I've never had her around loud sounds like that. So I'll be curious to see how she does with that.
So are you like more of a hot dog person, hamburger person, or neither, like a steak or a nice piece of salmon on the grill?
I used to love salmon and steak and all that stuff. I'm so into hot dogs and hamburgers now. Like, I love.
What? No way.
So here's my hamburger that I love. I like putting tomato, pickles, potato salad on the hamburger.
On the hamburger.
Yes, because it makes it like a little mayonnaise-y, and I don't like mayonnaise.
It does,
and then ketchup. And then cut it in quarters, so like the bites aren't too big. And then with the meat, I have it very thin. I don't do thick ones because it's too embarrassing when you eat it and your mouth's all open. And then the bread I like are the extra large English muffins. To me, that's like the perfect hamburger.
Interesting. This is. Did you just make this up on your own?
No, I bet that's how I've been eating hamburgers since for like 25 years. I'm not kidding. I love my hamburgers like that. Yeah.
And then
hot dogs I think are great, but my favorite hot dogs are street hot dogs in Manhattan, which people are like, oh, those are rats in the shape of hot dogs. They're so good. I love them. I could eat them all. I could eat them for every meal.
I love hot dogs. I like kosher hot dogs, you know, like they're beefy and they're just higher quality. But I like them well done, like almost burnt on the grill.
Oh, I don't like anything burnt. I don't like Cajun burnt. I like a nice boiled hot dog.
Got it. I get. Hey, I'll break out the grill when I come visit. Oh, I'm a really good cook and I will cook for you.
Oh, yes, that'll be fun. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
So, not feeling super patriotic this year, I'm guessing. So do they have, in Iowa, it's super redneck. We have these trucks, these fireworks trucks, these big old trucks. You can go up and people just like buy thousands of dollars worth of fireworks. It's like it's a weird thing. So yeah, I know a lot of people and they do like a big fireworks display in their backyard. It's kind of, I don't know.
It sounds dangerous to me, but
it is. I know someone's going to blow off a hand. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about current events. One thing I wanted to get to was Pete Davidson. So we hear a lot about him in the news, and this is very applicable to what we've talked about this week and then what we just talked about with Vanessa on the show. Pete Davidson just checked himself into rehab. Didn't really talk a lot about drugs or alcohol, but talked about his battles with borderline personality disorder. Mm. And I have a little bit of experience with that. I actually dated someone once with borderline personality disorder, and it was like a living hell. It was terrible.
What are the symptoms of that?
So someone who talks about this a lot is Dr. Nadine Macaluso, who dated the real life or was married to the real life Wolf of Wall Street.
She's become somewhat friendly with me. Yeah. And we're trying to get her on the show. Yeah.
I follow her Instagram like crazy because she talks about it so much. Oh gosh. So like, you know, well, love bombing. But also, well, total narcissism. There's a lot of parallels with that. Just a lot of gaslighting and blame, and like you'll do everything right, but then they'll come back to you and say how bad it makes them feel that like you are like good at this and that, and like you're probably just trying to make them feel bad about themselves and stuff. That's what it was like with my relationship. It was always like I would do everything I would do that was great, they'd find a way to turn it around and use it against me and stuff like that. So I can only imagine, like, Pete Davidson has this reputation. He's dated all the most beautiful women in Hollywood, all these actresses, musicians, like he's made the rounds with the ladies, but the relationship seem very short-lived. But I bet he's a really fun person to date until you like get really into it. It's probably not all that great. So I wonder
he strikes me as being somebody who has a lot of addiction issues, depression issues. And when he gets upset, it probably affects everyone around him.
Yeah.
I've never understood the whole thing with Pete Davidson. He looks a little messy to me. He doesn't look sophisticated.
I get it.
He lives in, you do get it. He lives like in the basement at his mom's house. I find all that very immature. I like a man in a suit who's like, you know, very like rolling around, like, you know, like he runs everything and intimidates people when he walks in the room and is very smart. And I'm sure Pete is very smart and funny and like, you know, sensitive and sweet. But he also is way too skinny for me. The tattoos, I know you love, I don't necessarily mind them as much. I just think he's so scrawny and
he is not like the traditional good looking guy, but it's that sense of humor and that little bit of like the bad boy side of him. That's what always gets me.
He seems kind of like a dick though, as a bad boy. There are bad boys that are like bad. And cool because they're bad boys.
Like,
but to me,
like
he's
James
just
Bond or someone like that.
To me,
or
he's like, just like a little bit of a.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can imagine. I bet I can imagine what it would be like to date Pete. But yeah, he's in rehab now.
Well, we wish him the best, obviously, because it's hard And he's
mental
had
health is.
Yeah. He's had a hard time growing up. And he's made a name for himself despite that. So we wish him the best. Madonna is in the hospital as well, which is sort of not surprising. But I hope that she's okay. What were they saying the reason for that was?
So she, she collapsed. She was unresponsive. They found her, and apparently it's a very severe bacterial infection of some sort. They're being kind of vague about it, but she was in ICU. She was actually intubated, which, you know, as we've found in like during COVID times, when you're intubated, that's really, really serious. And there's a good chance you might not make it out of that, but she did make it out. She's, you know, they say she's out of ICU. She's recovering and she expects to make a full recovery. But Madonna, she has been someone, she's been kind of, okay, I don't want to be mean or anything because I love Madonna. I've always been a huge Madonna fan. She's been kind of weird the last few years. Her look, her just like live interviews she's done, I'm like, she's been a little strange, I feel like. But
yeah, it's really it's odd. Like, I don't follow her anymore. I used to be obsessed with her. Listen, I'm 48. I'm a girl of sort of the 80s, where when I was 12, 13, 14, the biggest musicians at the time still have iconic music. So it was Michael Jackson, Madonna, Whitney Houston, George Michael. I feel like those were like the big, really big stars. I feel like I might be forgetting somebody, but at the time that was like the end all be all of music. And all of those people's music carries through. But Madonna now puts out music, or for a long time has put out music that's like way over the top, like really risque and raw, or whatever she calls it. And so I just have never liked her music. And then I think her lifestyle choice is a little odd. I mean, doesn't she date guys that are like 21 or something?
She does that, but like, I thought she was a lesbian now too. Thought something like that. I heard that she's like into women now. Maybe she always was. I mean, she's always
always like very sexual. But anyways, okay, so we wish her the best as well.
Yeah. And now, like, the other thing that's like big this week that I'm super excited about, this is kind of a friend of yours. You know this guy, Ryan Seacrest. He's got like 20 jobs, but he's taking on one more. He's going to be the new host of Wheel of Fortune. So that's super exciting.
Yeah. I mean, this guy just does not stop with his jobs. I do know Ryan very well. And he's a great guy. Listen, when I first met him, I remember thinking, this is like the modern day Larry King. Like, he asks all the right questions. He's super smart. He's really personable. Everyone wants to be around him. He really is a great guy, and he has a great family. I really like him, and I do wish him the best. I wish they gave the job to Vanna White. That would have been a cool...
Everybody's saying that.
Oh, are they saying that? Yep. Because I think that would have been really cool for her. And he has enough money. I mean, come on. And he has enough gigs. Or like,
they're saying, you know, that too.
It's either him or Mario Lopez, I feel like, are the two that go back and forth. But
Well, there were some other contenders too. So Whoopi Goldberg was vying for this role. So was
she has too much of an attitude.
I know. I don't think she would have been good, but so like Stephen Smith, Andy Cohen.
Who's
was
Stephen
like
Smith?
I don't know. Is it the singer?
That's a different one. Yeah, well, that's the only Stephen Smith. That's Sam Smith.
Sam Smith.
All right, we don't know who Stephen Smith is, so he sucks.
I don't know. Sorry, Stephen. I don't know who you are. But anyway, he was a contender. But
Andy Cohen might have been interesting.
He would have been interesting. I think he's a little too... a little too, like, not risque, but he's involved in some stuff like on, you know, Watch What Happens Live and all of that.
I think Anderson Cooper could have been fun.
I love that they chose Ryan Seacrest. And he's, a lot of people are like, I wish you should give someone else a chance. You have all the jobs or whatever. But oh my God, he's amazing. He's so successful. He's just such a sweetheart, I think. And just, I think he's going to make a great replacement for Pat Sajak. But Vanna White, who knows though? Maybe Vanna White didn't even want the job. You know, I don't know.
Exactly. So, hopefully she'll still be the one turning the letters and she won't quit her job. Yeah. So
she's
an
icon.
She needs to stick with the show. Otherwise it'll just be like too overdone kind of.
Yeah. It's weird that it's going to be changing hands, but I think Ryan's going to be great. Comes with a $28 million paycheck too, which doesn't hurt. So he's going to be the highest paid talent on TV. I know. Did you date him?
Well, I'm not going to get into it.
Not get into that. Good.
All right. So next week, we talked about this a little bit. We have Vanessa Reiser coming up, which will be, it's Louis's ex-fiance who talks about narcissistic abuse, who you guys will all like. And then we are going to do round two with David Yontef. We had a really fun, interesting interview with him to talk about, you know, more stuff in reality TV that was misunderstood or that has to be reconsidered again, because he's always a fun interview. So, and then in the weeks coming up, we have some really, really good guests that it was, you know, took us a long time to get that we are really happy to bring to you. So we'll go back to our more serious programming after David's, you know, kind of roundup of reality stuff, which I don't really love talking about. But anyways, he's a great guest and a good friend of mine, so I love having him on.
We're going to be having dinner with him soon too.
Yes,
we'll post some selfies.
So I'm guys, if you have any you have any suggestions for good guests, people that you feel like have been misunderstood in the media that you would like to hear their story, please let us know. You can DM either one of us, Rachel Yucatel NYC. Or what's your handle?
Kelly Brink, Kelly with an I, K-E-L-L-I, Brink. Yep, that's okay. Me. And so you can also email at info@misunderstoodpodcasts@gmail.com.
Great. Anything else?
No, I just hope everyone has a wonderful 4th of July. Don't blow off any hands or fingers or anything like that. We will catch you next week. Catch us on Monday, Wednesday, and happy hour on every Friday.
Yes. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And also, please, if you're watching this, hit the subscribe button, give us a little review. All these things really are very helpful. And we really need people to write a review and give us 5 stars. If you like the show, if you don't, give us one, but,
don't give us one.
Okay. I was just
kidding. Give us one.
if they've listened this far into this episode, they obviously then they like us. Yeah. So give us a review, let people know about us. Cause that's the only way that we grow. So it's very helpful to us. So we appreciate you. We do this for you. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
'Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.